All of you were one time sinners. I don't know how y'all got saved. I was in Oklahoma. My grandpa rode in there from Tennessee in a wagon at the turn of the century. Set my daddy down on a pallet, but tree, and took his bucket to the water to get a bucket of water with his old 30-30 rifle he carried with him all the time. When that Indian man rode around my daddy with that tomahawk to hit him in the head, and grandpa hollered and pointed that 30-30 at him, and he left. I come in under them old time people. My grandpa was with Geronimo many times. The years it went by faster than a weaver's shuttle.
Yeah.
And I look 45, amen, but I'm 66. And soon be 67. Quicker than you can talk it, boy, they'll be carrying your little body to the grave. Quicker than you think, they'll be putting you away. We'll be burying you. But the Lord sent an old-time preacher man from Rackham Sack. How many knows what Rackham Sack is? Nobody knows what Rackham Sack is. That's Arkansas. You live down in Oklahoma? You know what Rackham Sack is, Ralph. That's Arkansas. Yes, that's... an old man from where the wind just sings its way through the lonesome pines come to Oklahoma at 838 Southeast 29th Street. I'd never been to church, hardly. I wasn't raised in a Christian home by a Christian mother and father, hard-working daddy. All he knows was sweat and work, and that's the way I was raised. Sweat and work and pay your bills and sweat. Mother said one night, why don't you take sister down to the meeting? Heard there's a revival down there. Well, I said, I guess that's a proper thing to do. And I went down. All I'd been taught was don't go to the show on Sunday. And don't take a whipping off of nobody. That's what I try to live up to. That old man preached that night, children, and every way he pointed at me. And every time he looked, he was looking right straight at me. I swatter like I did 42,000 feet high in that airplane the other day to open my ears, and I was down to sea level nearly. We had in those days what they call conviction. Great God, have mercy. Praise the good Lord. So stout till men was known to jump up and said, that's me, let me to the altar and run as hard as they can go to get there. I've chased them from out the door, Billy Ray, clear out in the yard, and them running, lost as they could be, hollering, come back and get saved. You never felt the power of God, maybe, but maybe you just react because others do. But there's something called the power of God, boy, run up and down your spine. Amen. That got a hold of me. I'd never heard of it. I'm just testifying. I may not preach. We got so many people here, I don't believe I'm big enough to preach this many people. I told somebody, we need to get a good preacher up there, Ralph. Glory to God, look at the folks. Bunch of people. I got under conviction, and the old man wanted us to pray, and I couldn't go. But after everybody else went, I sneaked in wore cheap cowboy boots and knelt and cried. Somebody said, just make a decision. Well, that's what I done when I went to altar, but it took me 3 nights of bawling and squalling to get saved. Get born again. I prayed so much till the old cowboy boots stood up on the front. I knelt at them so much till the old soles just stayed in the position they was when I knelt. And everywhere I walked, my toes were sticking right up in there. Everywhere I went, toes sticking up. Took me 3 nights to pray it through. Oldest Davis was the pastor, weighed 325 pounds. I'd never been hugged much in my life. Wasn't that kind of a kissing, hugging family. I'm not knocking, we just weren't that turn. A lot of Indians aren't, you know that. You know. That old boy, I prayed, and the third night I come up saved by the power of God. He grabbed me and hugged me like I lost my breath. Never had nobody do that. And then he reared back and slapped me in the middle of the back till he knocked what breath I had out of me nearly. Praise God, he said, boy. That's Otis. He's the moonshiner from OK that the sheriff liked, shot his pistol and got saved. That's Otis. Well, I got started in the church work. Never dreamed of being a preacher. I was going to whip Joe Lewis if he lived long enough. I was going to make a fighter, you know. And I have made a pretty good one at that. It's a fight. If you don't think it is, get out of it. You'll lose. It's a fight. But God called me to preach. And when he did, I said, you must be short of preachers. No personality. Looked in the mirror and happened to see that I had what to call buck teeth. I said, I'll tell nobody about it. But somehow that old pastor sensed it. And he said, would you preach for us, L.D., Rusty? Mama called me Rusty. My nickname was Rusty. Because I wouldn't wash my knees good when I bathed in the number two tub. Even with that lye soap that Grandma made in the old black pot in the backyard, I still would not scrub my knees good. And I studied for me a message, and I had me a pencil as big as this one. And I had it laying in my Bible right where my message was. Did you ever put a pencil in a book? It'll fall open to it. You will have no trouble finding your pencil in your book. If you put one that big, you can find it. This ain't preaching. I don't call this preaching. But I got up to preach and ride back and went to looking for my message. You've done guessed it. You guessed it right here. I couldn't find it. Any book will fall open to it. Not that one. I flipped it and turned it and flipped it and flipped it, and I couldn't preach if I couldn't find my place. So I had to sit down. I sat down, the dear brother come by and said, that's good, LD. I said, shut up. Let's act like, I've been a few meetings where I won't tell somebody that. Let's try to act like we got some sense. Get all mixed up and can't talk, try to act like you're talking in tongues. Well, quit it. Act like a nut. Like you got some sense. Hallelujah. I sat there and another boy come by and said, don't be discouraged. The young man said, you all right? I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do to myself. I talk to myself. That's a good person to talk to a lot of times. I talk to myself. I said, I'm going to pray and try it one more time. And if that don't work, I'll never do it no more. Folks won't be plagued with me plaguing them. I prayed enough to raise the dead. Go in church, sun up, stay till sundown. Go in sundown, stay till sun up. I said, if praying will work, Ralph, I'm going to try it and see. I'm going to find out if God will hear. Right. How? Did you read Daniel 2 when they got in such a jam with all the month of prognosticators and wizard-spirited boys that couldn't tell the dream what the king dreamed? Did you ever wake up and say, what in the world was that I dreamed? Oh, I'm so troubled about it. What was it? Take you 2 or 3 days to think of it, but you know you dreamed something. He dreamed. He said, I'll make you rich. I'll give you great treasures. I'll do anything for you. I'll elevate you. But if you don't tell me, I'm going to kill you and cut you in pieces and do away with you. Ain't nothing to you. Well, you know, Arioch got the word around to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel especially said, we got to kill you. Kill me, what for? Because none of the wise men can interpret the king's dream, tell him the dream or interpret it. I told you what to do. Daniel said, well, what's the hurry? Get me an audience with the king. He rushed into the king, said, what is your hurry? Well, I said, that nobody can tell me my dream or the interpretation. Kill all this bunch. They don't know nothing. They're just hypocrites, most all of them was. Daniel saved their neck, and then they tried to kill him for it. Remind me of some churches I pastored. Saved their neck, and then they tried to kill me for it.
Everything they told on me so ought to be electrocuted.
But you know what? Said to his old buddies, now what we'll do, we'll pray to the God that rolled the waters back. We'll pray to the God that delivered the Hebrews. We'll pray to the God that rained bread from his kitchen in the glory world down to us. Made men so healthy they didn't have any liver trouble, stomach trouble. Even the shoes wouldn't wear out and they couldn't get the clothes to wear out. And there wasn't a feeble one amongst them when they got ready to go. Said, Granddad, we'll help you up. Help me up. Nothing will get up but myself. My blood sugar was 400, honey. I run down to 154. God brought me. Don't you look at her. Isn't that beautiful? I'm not to my message. This is extra. I prayed. You call that praying what you're doing? Mama, you're going to set the record for the shortest prayer is what you think to do. So I seek the Lord with all my heart. 13 minutes. I said, I'll work on this thing called prayer. I prayed for the hour. I prayed for the hour. I prayed for the day, all night long, all day long. Daniel said, go to prayer, boys. They prayed, God, have mercy on us. They're going to kill us all if we don't find answer here. I prayed till I seen them coming and went in the house and said, be there on the way. The Lord showed me. Ain't nothing like an answer from God. Beats the federal government's answer. Beats the IRS's forgiving letter. Daniel said, hold it, boys. No more praying. I've seen something.
All right, now. Yeah.
Tall as a tree. Big old image. I've got it. Next morning went in to King. And he said, oh, King, I've got the answer for you. The text in that chapter is, there is a God in heaven. Now he got to him. That revealeth secrets. Makes known what the king saw. He started with that head. And when he did, that king head done just like yours is doing. That's it. That's the first thing I see. What he said. Shadrach said, amen. Abednego said, amen. Meshach said, amen. Daniel, tell it, Daniel. Thank God. We in on this prayer meeting. We have your prayer down. Tell what God showed you. All them hypocritical monthly prognosticators and stargazers were saying, go ahead with it, Daniel. We tried to hocus pocus, did the idocus come into focus? We couldn't work it. Hallelujah. We tried every kind of a razzmatazz we knew. I've been where they tried that. Whew. I've been there when they prophesied and then I prophesied. There is a God in heaven that hears prayer and he knows everybody and he sees you, boy, and he sees you, girl, and if you pray to him in sincerity, he'll answer from his heaven. I believe it. I can't help it. Well, that ain't my message. But I'm going to tell you, I pray. Somebody said, prayer bells of heaven. Oh, how sweet they ring. Ain't nothing wrong with most people. But what a good long prayer meeting wouldn't fix it up. I prayed. When I got up to preach next time, a ball of fire hit me in the top of the head, right down through my feet. I just heard the Holy Ghost talk out of me. It wasn't the interpretation of tongues. It was just the English language. I never heard that before. I wish somebody wrote it down so I could have read what I said. Had no control of it whatsoever. Then 49 years ago, I told him, if you'll help me where I go, and be with me where I go,
I'll keep talking. There is a God in heaven.
A few times I've got a hold of him where I told somebody, don't you talk, let me talk. Let me tell you what you're fixing to tell me. And then I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me. It's, I'm not a spook. I don't even have a mental out of a faffy. I don't even have it. I don't have it. But there's a God in heaven. You all believe that verse? Daniel said, there's a God in heaven. How do you reach him? There's a way. And them four done it. And when Daniel got promoted, he said, my buddies, don't forget them that prayed with me. They helped do this. All right. I hope you don't get worried tonight, because I'm going to cut it down. I'm wore out. I can't preach over an hour and a half tonight. I can't. There's no way I can do it. Physical condition I'm in. There's no way I can do it. Boy, if you claim religion and you have no feeling with it and you have no joy with it, you have no contentment with it, get rid of it and get on down here tonight and praise through till you touch the God that lives above the stars. Let him help you. I'm only going to play the guitar and sing for you, but we got too much talent here for me to... I don't play and sing in front of too much talent. Look at that, him. Look at him, life. Just a no-good outfit. Playing for the old lives. Playing the old world of stuff. Look at him. Ain't he beautiful? Well, I think he is. I know you when you first come out. You come to meet and discouraged. And the Holy Ghost put a kicking spell on me. Kicked you out of it, didn't it? Kicked you out of it. All I done was just go into a kicking spell. God is not foolish, but he's done different than anybody does. He'll take that old society-looking sister that can't hardly look at you. She's so prideful. He'll jerk her and shake her and throw her head until her hair's all tore down and her makeup's all run together. Tell me he won't do it. The Baptist folks got the jerks in my early ministry and fell in the aisles and jerked under the power of God. The Baptist done it. The Methodist shouted. The Methodist shouted. Whew. Had an old preacher down home, got sick and went to the doctor. Gave him a few pills and went to church and said, pray for me. Pray for me. He prayed for him. He got better. Went back to the doctor. He said, you're much better. Where have you been? Well, he said, Doc, got broke up, said, I just went to church and had him pray for me. Oh, he said, and the Lord helped me. He said, give up to it, son. Let's have God work on you. He said, but my grandma used to shout her hair down and shout her bonnet off in the pea patch. Give up to it, son. Let God bless you. I thought that's all right. That happened. We had an old knock-down home come to Earl Holcomb's sister dying, nearly dead. He said, can't you do nothing? Ain't got nothing to work on. Just have prayer. Knelt down beside her body. Prayed and prayed. And that's why he said, this life coming back into her. Said, I got something to work on now. She lived for years after that. Yeah. There's a God in heaven, all right. Yeah, he ain't worried about nothing. But he's there. And there's a way to get to him. They got to him. I want to preach on a simple thought that's only kind I've ever used in 49 years. But do you know, a few days ago in another place I thought of this, and I've used it there. You were there maybe, but I'll use it a while tonight. For somebody that's going to the grave, to eternity. You know where you're going, don't you? Don't you know it? I don't care how important you are, God won't let you stay here just so long. And you're gone. I want to preach on a very simple thought, what a few words will do. I'll use that. I'm not much of a repeater. I've preached many, many years and never used the same text twice. Occasionally I will use a thought again. Most of the time, if you get little tapes that they take of me once, you'll find very few repeats. My wife and I started the church in a peaceable spirit here a while back. And we stopped at one of the famous eating places that we stopped in. Kind of hike a fruiting place, but we stopped there anyway. Hardee's. You can get all the gravy and biscuits you want to eat on Sunday morning for one price. We went in and sat down, and B sat down with me, and we left out after a while to go on to her church. We got just nearly there, and she said, "Oh, my pocketbook." I knew what to do. I turned around the middle of the road and run red lights, broke speed limit, done everything. And on the way there, I felt so sorry for Beatrice. We don't have a bunch of money. If we did, we'd support this whole meeting ourselves. They don't have to get no more. Take care. Underwrite it. You know what? She said, "Lester, I had a bunch of money in that pocketbook. That just touched me. I know she probably had $75, maybe $100 in there. But she said, had a bunch of money in there." Well, the rest of the night I knew it was gone. That building full of people, and where we were sitting, there wasn't no pocketbook. Looked in the trash can, and the people knew me. The manager knew me. Said, "I'll look in that trash bin out back for you after I preach more. We'll check it out." Well, I said, "Let's go in the restroom, look in. Maybe they just took the money and dumped the driver license and those things. They didn't need them. It wasn't in there." What a few words will do. I went back out and got in the car, and old boy followed all the way out there. Some folks heard it, and they was merciful. They wanted to help us. Everybody wanted to help us, except give us money. I mean, you know, just help us find the pocketbook. And I started to get in. I said, "B, what's that white pocketbook laying behind the front seat?" "Oh!" I told her not to have a heart attack on the way down. "Now to go and live, don't die over it. My God, have mercy. Don't die over it. But there it lay in the back floorboard." Her blood pressure returned to normal. The frown left her face, and she's a happy woman again. I've been there when the kinfolks waited until the doctor came out. Sometimes he still had his green stuff on. Other times he had dressed in his suit. And he said, "Those folks that didn't smile, they didn't laugh, they didn't tell funny things. They sat there and waited. And wait, they didn't go get a cup of coffee. They didn't eat enough. Dad's word, death knew." Doctor come up to Dad and said, "Not a word in the world, son. No cancer at all. Said she'll live and be well. She'll be with you for many, many years." They said, "Went to talking, laughing. Let's go down and get a hamburger." Just, that's all he said. How a few words will change things, you know. I've been there when he come out. I sat with him till he did. And he said, "It's the last stages. The last stages. He can't live long. There wasn't no laughing going on. There wasn't nobody smiling. Just a few words. A few words." I have long ago come to a place when I answer the phone, they say, "It's been a wreck." I said, "Did he get hurt?" I ain't worried about the kind of car. I'm not asking about the insurance. I want to know, were they killed or were they maimed? Were they hurt? And if I can hear they is all right, that makes it better. I've been there. They sit for hours and days and weeks sometimes, and both sides present their evidence. And they come out not guilty. And they hug each other and they laugh and they slap each other in the back. Mama cries. Daddy shakes the old boy's hand. "God bless you, son. We're thankful that God delivered you." You come out of it. Been there when he said it's guilty. 25 years in the pen. Just put a preacher in for about 40 years, Ralph. Down there in Oklahoma, molested little girls, and they put him in for about 40 years. I better let you know about that case. Just going to preach to you a while on what a few words will do. I know that a mother's word can do so much for children.
Yes, sir.
My mama's gone. I fasted the last several years of her life. They're all gone but me. Now, and sis said to me 7 months ago when she lay on her deathbed last year, the last one. I said, I know it. I asked God years ago, let me put them all away. I just had a desire to put them all away before I went. What do I want to do? My mother is gone. But I do remember laying at night with that bad toothache and Mama rubbing the side of my face till that old nerve calmed down and just say a few words to me. And that's all I needed. My dad is the greatest welder I ever welded with. I didn't worry about the boss. I wanted Dad to look at it. And if he said it was all right, I wasn't worried about what anybody else said because he was the best in my book. And when Dad said, that's a good job, that's enough for me. That's enough for me. He didn't say it was, it wasn't. A father's word or a mother's word can just be a shot in the arm to you. I don't like to take up for fighting because I don't believe in physical fighting. We as barbaric as a heathen used to be, we'll gather up to Las Vegas or somewhere, a lot of them will, and folks that can't go and pay $35, $40 to $75 a whack to get to see them beat on each other on the screen till they knock the blood out of each other and maybe maim each other for life. We ain't much different than the old gladiators was. Amen. But when I was a boy at school, as an old boy got to whipping my brother. And my brother wasn't no boxer. And this fellow's well trained. He could just keep that left jab right in your mouth till he crossed with that right and knock you unconscious. He knew what to do. My brother didn't, but I was there. And when that feller fought him, I'd holler, hit him big. See, his name was Edward. We had a little boy named Edward and a bigger named Edward, and it was big and little. Sure, naturally. I hit him big, and I don't know how that feller kept from dodging that. But he'd go clear back to third base and come around with that haymaker and hit that fella right beside the eye every time he hit him. And he'd whip my brother all the way for him, and I'd say, hit him, big! He whooped him with them roundhouse curves. You know what got it done? I want to sound important. I'll tell you what done it. But it's old Rusty saying, hit him, big. I thought he could whoop an elephant. I believe he'd have tried it if I'd egged him on. You know it, big. Bigger they are, the harder they fall, big. That's the way we live. What a few words. Hang in there, boy. Glory to God. I don't know who that was that told me that quitters never win. Winners never quit and quitters never win, but I stayed with that for years, Joe. When your boy was into it so bad I thought he'd die, I said, God, you made these human guts work him over. He's too young to die. When's he coming? Wednesday.
All right. Yeah, all right.
He stilled the tempest up on the sea and he walked up on the waves. He cleansed the lepers from their spots and he opened up the graves. Some said that he was a prophet when he saw the work that he done. But the Bible plainly tells us he was God's only son. Get up! Old bones that hadn't been able to move for years. Old paralyzed limbs. Had no circulation in them. Couldn't move. All he had to say was arise.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a few words will do. Here in John 8 and 11, he got a woman on trial. The fellow down south made a bad mistake. Told me he did. Fellow not far from here made a bad mistake. Called me and told me he did. Denied. Told me he did. Yeah. I tried that fellow down south till I thought they tried him all they needed to. The other day I got word want to bring it up again. I said, I whipped my boss one time for what they done wrong. I whipped my boss one time for what they done wrong.
That's right.
I give him a good one. I never called it up on him, whipped him every 4 or 5 days over that. I never whipped him several times for that. I said, where is the mercy at? Where in the world is the mercy going to? When a man confesses and he does his best straighten up, quit whipping on him. Here she is. They've caught her in the act of adultery. Hypocrites. Moses in the law said, stone her. What are you going to say against what Moses said? They say nothing against what Moses said. That's what they're trying to trap him into. He said, he that's without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Them rock throwers couldn't pull no rocks up. They thought of their own sins. What if you were to do? Yeah. Jesus wrote on the ground. I don't know what he said or what he wrote, but they did. I'll assure you that bunch did. I'll say they knew what he wrote. One of them said, prosecute him for the full extent of the law. I just thought it's a bit. I've got to go take care of it. Turn over to the other boys. One by one, they left. When it was over, Jesus said, you filthy, ungodly woman, you wouldn't be an example of her in any church. We wouldn't want you in a choir because remember how you used to be. And we're afraid you'll influence the rest if you start singing in the choir. Just think what it'd do to the church if we'd bring a woman like that in. It's been such a character as that. Well, if you didn't know it, you've got one here. A character. Before I got saved, I was a character. Somebody say, check your background. Don't check mine. Leave it alone. I mean, I got saved all right in 49 years of it, but I mean, if you're going to go on my background, I may do like Pirat done, quit. I'm going to preach to you precious neighbors that's sitting there waiting on me to say something on what a few words will do. By the proud worshiper scorned for her sin was this poor wanderer rudely brought in. Scribes came and Pharisees anxious to see what the lowly Nazarene's verdict would be.
Come on now.
Woman, where are your accusers? Master, have none. Now let's see, the case is this. You're accused of committing adultery. No. He didn't even say that. He said, neither do I condemn thee, precious word divine, falling from the lips of mercy like the sweetest chime. Neither do I condemn thee, sing them o'er and o'er. Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Yeah. Scot free, turn it loose. What a few words will do for folks. She went out of there walking like a woman ought to walk.
Yeah.
Down that street, and them old buddies said, hey, hey yourself, not me. I just come in the presence of Jesus Christ. That life is gone. Just a few words. Had a woman in our country done bad, boys. She done bad. I knew it. Her husband afraid he'd kill the fellow she'd been into it. Well, don't preachers have a wonderful time?
Yeah.
He said, hell, I'm afraid I'll get in a fight and kill him. I think I owe him. Go up there to his business and pay it for me, will you? He knew I was a buddy to that fella. And when I went in and asked him, did he owe him, he shot his hand under the counter. He had a pistol there. He never told him, I come to get him for that fella. I like swallowed my tongue. I said, he wondered if he owed you, he wanted me to pay you. No. Put his hand back. I don't know a thing out there. Don't worry about it. That woman straightened out every way she could straighten out. She'd done everything she ought to do. She didn't have to come up here and tell you what she'd done. Wasn't no use writing letters all over the country telling you what she'd done. She fixed that where she'd done that and done it the best she could.
Yeah.
The only thing the Lord ever in the world moved on me to tell her, the only thing he ever moved on me to tell her. I met her one day and she looked at me in her eyes and said, I can't hardly look at you. I wonder if you hold that against me. Before she could look down, I said, you're a good woman. You hear me? You're a good woman. And that's what I tell people everywhere I go, that you're a good woman. She put her chin in there, and it's been there for 20-some years. Her husband's been a deacon.
And nobody knows. Ask me, what kind of woman is that? I say, a wonderful woman. Her grandchildren say, what kind of grandma I got? I say, you got a great grandma. Go and sin no more. Just break the habit and don't do it again. Neither do I condemn you. Just a few words. You know what all I need to say a time or two. So here is the old boy saying the debt's wiped out. When Pauline's husband died, Pauline Edwards' husband died, their insurance didn't cover all the bill. And that little Indian from India that doctored him knew nothing about God. But when Pauline Edwards, when he brought Arthur out of the operating room and said, boys, if the cancer's on the out, if the cancer is on the outside of the colon, it is too far gone. I cannot help him. If it is not on the outside of the colon, I can help him. He's an Indian doctor, a little fellow. Specialist in his field. Overall, the specialist in Oklahoma City in that field. But he's a little bit Indian. But Pauline Edwards, just a big old Christian woman. She don't know nothing about Indian people or from foreign nations. She just talks right straight to them about God, just like they all know there's a God. She'd tell that doctor about God and how God had saved her husband. He didn't know about getting saved. He said, when he come out, I was standing up the boys. Pardon me if this is not too interesting. Some of my preaching's not. You deserve better. And you've got better preachers here than I am. And I thank God for giving me a chance to witness to you. He said, when he come out of the operating room, the cancer is on the outside of the colon. I will tell the mother. Let me tell the mother. Them fellas is made out of something different, aren't they, them doctors? I don't see how they stand what they do. Down the hall, I went in front of him. Here come Pauline Edwards. Said, Brother Moore, I don't know anything about human entrails. I've just dressed chickens, and chickens she has. Like you ladies, she's cleaned a lot of chickens. Chicken entrails, all I've ever seen, hardly. But said, the Lord, while I was praying, showed me the cancer was on the outside of the colon. I said, I'm not going to tell you, didn't tell you that. Behind me a few feet was the doctor. Miss Edwards, I have a few things I need to say to you. And she interrupted him, said, Doctor, I won't tell you something. I don't know anything about the human entrails, but said, old chicken guts is all I know anything about. But said, I was praying the Lord showed me the cancer was on the outside of the colon. The Indian doctor said, you have God! You have God! You have God!
Yeah.
Just a few words. You don't have to have an encyclopedia to learn what quit means. Or the biggest dictionary in the world. God has simplified this thing so you can get forgiveness here tonight if you didn't go to the first grade. Amen. And he can dumbfound the mighty that's went to every college there is. Oh, pardon me. Oh, but it's good for your throat. Oh. Oh. Have a notion to have one of them Holy Ghost jumping spells. Just a few words. When Arthur died, that Indian come in the room. He said, if he was my father, I would say, go be with God. He said, you to her, he said, you have your preacher, you have your friends, you have God. He went to India to see his own father during the sickness. When he got back, Pauline said, I prayed for your father. Touch that Indian. Standing down at the desk after Arthur died, and Pauline still owed a big bill. Insurance didn't cover. My Pollock sitting over yonder. These are Pollock. Ask her to show you her Pollock pistol that Ralph Cox gave her. She went up that hall to that doctor. She said, Doctor, that woman will mop floors. She'll wash windows. She'll take in washing. She'll do ironing. She won't beat you. Won't beat you. She'll pay you. But said, I'm going to ask you to forgive her that debt that the insurance didn't cover. No Medicare involved here. Medicaid. No welfare. That doctor looked at Beatrice and said, the debt is forgiven. The debt is wiped out.
Hallelujah.
Talk about a child being born again. It's real. Talk about a child being born again. It's real. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go and sin no more.
she never forgot it till she's old and gray. She never forgot that man called Jesus that met her that day when the world condemned her and the church world at that.
Come on.
And said, go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn you. We've got some outlaws that used to be from where I live. I know some fellas was bad stuff. They're singing in the choirs. They're preaching the gospel, Ralph. They're carrying the good news just because he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. I noticed here, Matthew 9:5, I want you to notice this. You know, can you think what I'm preaching on? If you can't, I'm doing no good at all. I'm preaching on what a few words will do. In the 9th chapter, Matthew, they brought to him a boy that sick with what I used to call the palsy. To me, said it was the palsy. He was lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing that faith, oh, I'd love to have enough faith folk could see it. Brother Moore's packed in the car. Well, he ain't got no money. Yeah, but he's going. He's leaving out. Faith. Faith. Have mercy. Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Just a few words. You don't have to have an hour and a half long of it a lot of time. Just a few words. He was sicker of sin than he was in his body. He was more concerned about his sins than he was that disease he couldn't get loose from. And that's what you need to be if you're a sinner here tonight or a backslider. You need to be more concerned about your sins than anything else.
Right,
Jesus said, son, be of good cheer. He hadn't even asked him, but he's a mind reader and a colored woman said a heart regulator. And he said, son, be of good cheer. Your sins be forgiven. How could you get forgiveness of that? You know, if daddy would just look at a boy sometime and say, son, it's forgiven. I remember old David, after he'd had that cancer and his life had killed him, he ain't near dead with it now. Do you hear me? He's still bringing back elk from Colorado. He brings one back nearly every time he goes. Last time he went by himself and killed a big one down the valley and chunked that meat up and carried it out on his shoulder, and a big old bear walked a ridge right up above him, raised prayer up on his hind feet. And I said, scared you, didn't it, David? Yeah, I said it did, but it brought it out. So I give him a pistol, my .357. So when he goes back again, he can have a killer on him. If it does come on him, he can shoot at that pistol. Just save his life, you know. One day, he said, after God healed him and brought him out, he said, Daddy, help me. For dad to say the right thing. Amen. For mom to say the right thing. Be of good cheer, your sins be forgiven. Somebody said ain't nobody do that. He don't have authority to forgive sin. That you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sin. He says to the sick of the palsy, son, rise, take up your bed and walk. He hadn't been able to walk. But he's walking now. I've been to when it happened. I went to pray for him. Pray for sister sick in the bed. Brothers, if I just happened to think of praying for a sister one time, we just had to rush out of the room as soon as we prayed for her. For the power of God come on her, she'd come out of there. Come out of the bed. We run out and shut the door. Blam, 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 blood, blam, hitting the walls and running in now. All the shouting you ever heard, she's healed, brother. Well, ain't no wrong thing if you're healed, is there?
No,
I got a preacher friend down home. You said the right words. You know, sometimes you can say the right words. God love his heart. I had a preacher friend that walked in a woman's bedroom in a hospital, lead with a spirit, black woman laying there.
Spirit led him and said, "Woman, don't you know God can heal you?" Never seen her before in his life. "Yes, I do," she said, and come out of that short gown on a dancing, and the sister run over in the corner, and the pastor, he went to spinning and dancing, and she said, "Oh God, help us get out of here as quick as you can before they get the law in here." Y'all believe in that? I'm looking for a fella. Oh, why ain't that funny always here? He's getting better by the minute, Wayne Ray. He's getting better by the minute. God's helping him. God's helping him. Just a few words. If we could get the Lord tonight, just a whisper, that's all it has to be. Well, there's much more of it in here, so you'll have to sit still a little longer. Do y'all ever sing that song? "It is I, be not afraid," was the reply that the Savior made. Night was dark and the wind was blowing, yet with the ship the disciples stayed. Thought I saw a man come walking on the water, saying, "It is I, be not afraid." Woo! Walking on the white cap. Y'all ever sang that? "This is the same God that said to Brother Noah, 'Build thyself an ark, my son. I'm going to flood the world with water. Can't you see what the people have done?' Noah went to work. He didn't fear the people, but he built an ark, his house to save. Rain began to blow, boat began to float. Jesus said, 'It's I, be not afraid. It is I, be not afraid.' It was a reply the Savior made. Night was dark and the wind was blowing, yet with the ship the disciples stayed. Thought I saw a man come walking on the water, saying, 'It is I, be not afraid.'" Do you believe him? I'm just a dancing and running with two or three here. It might help you, but it's helping them. One of them told me today, and I guess that's about all he got out of my message. About all I got out of it. I couldn't tell I done so hot. But when I run, he said, "That done it." You know why? Because I had to come up the steps there one step at a time. Took Jimmy's Jeep and laid in the back of it behind Ralph's house up by the mountain. I got to get over at the prayer meeting place. I ain't been back. Sick, boys. That's the reason I'm going through these gyrations. It'll help you out if you let the power of God get a hold of you. Twist that old spine around a little. Move them joints a little. Lubricate your chassis a little with joy. Here in Mark, the 4th chapter, and the 39th verse, they're out on the sea. He's asleep on the ship, and the wind's blowing. Storm hit. One of them run, woke him up, said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" They couldn't have drowned him if they'd have put rocks on him and sunk him to the bottom of the Pacific. You couldn't have drowned him. He'd have rolled a whale back up out of there or just come up out. You really believe in this, son? Don't you believe in it with all your heart? All us old preachers dying, listen. You get yourself in the mountain and say, "God, you're the God of the mountains. You're the God of the valleys. Help this boy." Believe in him. All your heart. Don't ever doubt. You know what? He arose and stepped up on the deck of that ship. Night was dark. Wind was blowing. Yet with the ship the disciples stayed. Thought I saw a man come walking on the water, saying, "It is I, be not afraid." He could walk the water. Now he's out here and the wind's blowing. He raises up and said, "Peace be still." Later. There's a woman come to altar over in Oklahoma. "Oh God," she said, "oh my God, my God." She just like to run me crazy. Have you ever been where folks give up to it, sister? I said, "Keep telling her that and she'll jump out the window to me and have to haul to the hospital, cut all the pieces. What she's got a hold of her don't need to be told over there." Well, that old girl was just a screaming bloody murder. I couldn't hardly stand it. I got out beside her and said, shut up. Hush. Quit praying. I want to talk to you. Woo! Peace. Be still. Had four sinners in the altar praying, trying to get saved one night. It was a bad thing here to go. Oh, now stay with me. But she screamed such a blood-curdling scream, and I could feel that evil spirit. I rushed to her, young lady. Shh, shh, shh. I said, be quiet. Disturbed the altar. It knocked everybody else out of the spirit. Shh, shh, shh. I said, now you hold still, young lady. That you're yielding to is not of the Lord. That's a bad deal you're yielding to. We just rather let it go if we're not careful. And it'll give us so much trouble after fire, we wish we'd have taught some folks about the flesh and the spirit. Using the spirit when you skidded and broke your arm and like to bag your brains out on the wall, you was not. Don't tell anybody you was. Just face it and go on with God and get prayed for, but don't blame that on God. Amen. Oh, I was in the spirit when a fellow called him sister's lap. No, you weren't. You weren't in the spirit. I've seen them dance among the babies 85 years old, and the babies asleep on the pallets, and all we had was coal oil lights and a ladder lamps, and I've seen them with the eyes shut and the hands in there dance among the babies on the pallets and never touch a one. Peace be still. I've been out there. Me and my wife was out there on 10 children. I had a big old yellow sombrero got from old Mexico, a great big round. We had a 7.5 horse engine on a 14-foot Lone Star. We was fishing, and the storm comes down on 10 children just like it did the Lake of Galilee. Just rolled down there 60, 70 mile an hour just like that. It rolled down, and being them kids in the boat with me, I started out trying to get back to the dock. It was about a mile around there. Nearly died. Pull that backside, that wave, just nearly died, and coast down the other side. Screaming bloody murder. Me and them kids. Shut up! Everybody shut up! Wish I'd have said that a time or two in the church. Just, shut up! They're not talking about the mark of the beast in this place today. We're studying water baptism, and you that always does this third or far and every question you can think of about the mark of the beast, and got everybody confused and tore up. You don't know nothing about it, and you got everybody else to mix up and forgot what you did know about it. Shut up! There ain't very many sinners here, so I've got to preach a fourfold message. I know you don't know what fourfold is. I ain't going to tell you right now, don't you? That hurts feeling. Shut up! I said if we drown, we're going to die with dignity. We're not going to go out screaming bloody murder. Amen. Finally got in sight of the dock, buddy. My old yellow sombrero would come into sight and out of sight. The old boys in the boathouse said, I believe he's going to make it. Said, it looks like he might get here yet. I'm telling you, when I got there, you, son, you would not tell me to praise God. Amen? He didn't have to tell Jim Wiley's wife, Fred, to praise God when the crash landed that thing in California the other day. Couldn't get the landing gear down on it and had to skid that thing in. Only thing the pilot said, we're going to land hard and fast. Oh, well, I figure the reason you've done that is faster they can skid the thing anymore. Less of that, maybe to slide around and tilt and split and flop, flop. One colored fellow went berserk, lost his mind. He said, I'll die. Others thought sure they would, and others said to each other, I'm glad I've got it right with God. That was said on the plane. God skidded. How will I talk to that girl? I ain't going to say what I started to say. That'd be out of order. I miss it one time. I couldn't say. I won't talk about a thing or two to her, though. Say, God spared me, dear. God spared you, girl. Always loved her. Clarence married your brother to her. Clarence wanted to die. Just a few words. Oh, how sweet and happy seem those days of which I dream when memory recalls them now and then. With what rapture sweet my weary heart would be if I could hear my mama. There you go. We don't treasure words that we should until it's too late a lot of times. But we need to. Just a few words, huh? Wayne Dillard done something about like that and slapped that young man in the back at the table camp meeting 45 years ago and said, son, I'm for you if that'll help you. Ed come to me and said, Brother Moore, you'll never know what that done for me. I don't understand that, but said, when that man said that to me, I just skyrocketed. I've learned how to get coconut pies. I can still eat. I need to talk to you about the way I handle some of that stuff. He and I are the sweetest two in the house, as far as I know tonight. Me and him, two sweetest men here. Both have a little sugar. Well, here's another. And here's a third one sitting here. Both have that sugar. I want you to talk to him a little about that. He just now come into that deal. I want you to give him a little talk about that and encourage him. He's going to crash land with a crash program, and I told him to show up on a crash program. I can tell you what. I know how to get good pies out of sisters that can cook good pies. Brag on them things. When you take a bite of that, tell them, my, have mercy. It's as good as I've ever eaten in the world. That woman will grin. She'll go back in that hot kitchen. She'll work and work and may do as bad as Shirley done. Throw out two or three batches of rolls because they ain't just right. Till you get them just right. Amen. Just a few words. Good morning. I had an old boy I passed the church. I believe he is the grouchiest grouch that ever grouched the grouch. I never seen such a grouch. He'd come by my church and there I'd be out in the yard and he just looked at me, what bank did you rob, you coochie? Just poke back to the house. That's the way he did, and I'd wave at him. Hello there, buddy. Good morning to you, friend. What are you up to? What's behind that? One morning, I decided I'd do my very best to break that ice. He was driving slow, and I was a young man that could run like a deer. I beat his car going down the road, run alongside it, right next to the window, hollering, hello in there, old buddy! How in the world are you in there? Hello in there! He finally grinned and said, from then on, it's from just a few words. Did you speak? I'm on the trail tonight of just a few words. That's all. Did you speak? She didn't speak to me. Did you speak? I spoke last. When was that? 7 months ago. I called last. Call again. I wrote Jeff Utter and another preacher family to give out writing them. I wrote. I do that. If I start writing, I'll just keep writing. I don't care if you write. I want you right back, but if you don't, that don't mean we're through. You hear me? And I wrote. When I met him at the meeting, I said, why, have you boys got any pencils? The other hooked up with the other against me and had nobody to defend me. Said, you got to fight in the spirit. Said, you got to get back spirit. Write them. Call them. You put your bony hand out. Just a few words. That's all it takes to fix things with God. Many times. And just a few words from Him will fix everything for you. And even amongst us, a few words. Precious ladies in here that hasn't been able to see her, talk. I'm not see you. Hear or talk. Hear or talk. But when we come up that a while ago and I was looking over in that garden at them beans and that corn and that stuff they got planted along there, it excited her and she's walking alongside. I didn't recognize who she was. Beans.
Yeah, beans. We picked beans and talked about beans. She can't talk, but yet she can make, she's learned that she can read her mouth and she was making sounds she couldn't hear. It was
everybody likes to hear a few words.
everybody likes to be spoke to.
That's right.
Amen. Don't be afraid to speak to the cripple, to the bad sick. When Clarence died, he said, "Die not bad, Brother Moore, just hard to get to."
Yeah.
What Clarence said, great man, wonderful man. I say many things. He was a good man. We buried a good man. Had 10 preachers active besides the pallbearers in that funeral. You was in there. Had at least 75, I believe. I believe I'm safe then. 75, maybe more than that. I beg your pardon. Thank you. I want you to do that for me. Start asking. 119? All right. Clarence was a great good preacher man. He was a man of few words a lot of times, but they was weighty and powerful. Did you read that in the Bible? How important a few words is to us. We'll see directly. Same thing as after a while, we'll see directly what a few words will mean. Just a few of them. What mother say when she passed away? She said, to be sure and tell you, she wanted to meet you in heaven. That helped so much. Clarence, when he got to where he couldn't talk and was out, and they'd been in the room with him day and night, and all his reflex, everything is gone. He lay flat of his back. No response from any of that, from him at all. Everybody say anything, no response. You led the audience in that song, didn't you, from heaven? I will meet you in the morning. In the room, they begin to sing, I will meet you in the morning. Tears run out of Clarence's eyes. Down his face, the first reaction, he heard it. They tell me the last thing you lose is your hearing. He loves you, boy. He loves you, girl. He loves you, sir. He loves you. He loves you. God loves you. God wants to help you. He is your friend. He's not anxious to club you or to tell you how bad you are. He's anxious to say, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. They tell me MacArthur could walk in where a bunch of drunk soldiers were. And he was such a stalwart man and such a man that demanded respect until it had nearly sobered every one of them when they said, it's General MacArthur. They straightened the act up. He can just say a few words. Pardon granted. I know folks talk about you and hold against you, but God won't. I'm not going to preach near long enough to suit you, I know, but I'm going to try to slow down here. Did you read John 4:50? I've got to get through here because I've got 3 or 4 big old long messages to preach before I leave. I'm going to pray to get in the Spirit before I leave if I can at all. I mean, I'd like to get deep in the Spirit of Word. But look, I noticed a certain ruler came running to him, and he said, my son's dying. Would you come down? Sir, come down ere my child dies. Sir, would you come? You know what he wind up saying? Go thy way, thy son liveth. He left. Next evening he got down close to the house, must have been a good ways off. Servants run to meet him and said, your son is well. Said, at what hour did he begin to mend? Yesterday, at a certain hour. They calculate that's the very time that he said, thy son. She's made a change. He's made a change. He's come out of it. I stood at the bed of a girl that had been out for days and days from Salas, Oklahoma. Are anybody here from the Watch Church from Salas, Oklahoma? You've been there, Wayne. You know where it's at. That boy that run that 7-Eleven sold him out up there. Brother still runs that tar shop. Can't think of the names right now. Lee's the name. Herbert Lee runs the tar shop. Thank you. His brother had 2 or 3 7-Eleven stores there. His girl had a bad head on crash. Lay up there in Fort Smith in a coma for days and days. I've traveled like this all. The Lord sent me to you when you was in the hospital. He did do it.
And the Lord told me to tell you, you had nothing to worry about. You'd live for years. You ought to have, ain't you? You're going to live a long time yet. That's right. You know what? I went in that hospital, that girl's bed, and there she lay out. Been out for days and days. Spirit said to me, write her a card. Write on a card right there. And tell her when she wakes up and reads this, you want her to read. Spirit let me know she's going to wake up. Been out for days and days. You know, I met her daddy the other day in a steakhouse in Norman, Oklahoma, and he bought my steak for me. She woke up one morning. I went down there to preach, and she was at church, and she got up and told what the Lord had done for her. I asked her dad the other day, now it's been a couple of years since then, I said, how's she doing? Great, Brother Moore. All it has to do, just speak a few words to you. I can't twist his arm. I can't make him tell you what I want him to tell you. But you can do something about it. You can come down here tonight and hear him say, I love you. Matthew 25:21, when folks will be gathered by the thousand and the million, he will say a few words to some folks that will mean it all. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Will you stand? Would you like to hear a few words from the Lord tonight? Would you pardon an expression if I told you about an old friend of mine walking in the back alley in Mulberry, Kansas, by the name of Ford? Lost man. You hear, lost man? Listen to me. He walked the alley in Mulberry, Kansas. While Brother Ford walked up that alley, a lost man at this time, God in heaven said to him from right out of the heavens, you are lost, Ford. He said, I'm not, said I live right up there. Said I've been up this alley 100 times. I know where I'm going. He heard it. Ford. You knew Ford. At Jeff Utter's church in Wichita, Kansas. Ford. Walked a little further, and the Lord said, you're lost, Ford. He said, I am not. Said, I live right here. I know where I live. I'm headed up there right now. Said, I've been there 100 times. He's arguing with it. He didn't know it was the Lord. Did you meet Ford? Third time, God said, you're lost, Ford. My, said, it's God. Him lost. Rushed in the back door to his daddy and said, Daddy, God had just told me in the alley, fell him lost. Prayed through and got saved. One of the best heifers Jeff Utter had. You remember Jeff Utter. Preached here when he was dying.
Yes, he did.
I just heard from her a couple of days ago. She's got cancer and they're giving her chemo. Don't forget her. Jeff Utter. Ford got saved. Made one of the best service Jeff Utter had in that church that God had. And that Jeff Utter had in that church for years and years. Our Lord said, you're lost, Ford. When Buster Wilson stepped up on that step in Paducah, Kentucky, God said, Buster, it's your last chance. And Buster went in and said, Bertie, God had just told me that it's my last chance.
Come on, Brother Moore. Come on, Brother Moore.
Big Red died at Dayton, Ohio the other day. Big Red. How many knew it from Dayton? You knew Big Red, didn't you? Old Red. Standing in a meeting years ago. Red standing in a meeting years ago. He told himself that your life changed, Red. Your life changed. Maybe yours. You hear me? Red said, God said your life changed, Red. Red got saved. Lived years and years. I never was in a meeting. I'd go back every few years. And Big Red was there. Turned white-headed on me. We still called him Red, but he was white when he died. And I'd say, Red, have you still got his help? He'd come out of there with that slow motion hoop and shout. Trimming a tree that day and fell and hit his head and died. How quick you go, how soon you leave, how we miss you. Are you ready tonight? There's no use in going home, laying down on your bed again, and wondering what would happen if you died in the night. There's a God in heaven. Why don't you try around at this praying? He can whisper sweet peace to your soul. Will you come while we sing a verse, whatever you feel impressed to sing? If you're here and you're a sinner or a backslider, will you lead the way down here? Don't be ashamed to come. You're talking to God Almighty that made you, and you need Him. Will you come? While we have some kind of music or song, will you come?